The opening paragraph of the first reading might almost sound like our parish at some times, where it was told, we were told in the early church there was no little dissension and debate. Now, it shouldn't surprise us when we look through the history of the church that there are periods of dissension and debate. Because when you look at the history, the church is basically 2,000 years of periods of dissension and debate. There's always these periods of debate, always these periods of dissension. Now, the issues they debate on might change, but they're still going on throughout the history of the church. What's debated today is very different than what was debated in the past. The issues accepted today might have been hotly debated in the past, sometimes even violently debated in the past. And issues that are hotly debated today have been accepted in the past. So the issues might change, but the fact that there's always been these periods of dissension and debate. And the severity of this dissension and debate might wax and wane. There are periods where there's relatively peaceful periods of dissension and debate, and there are times when it's very tumultuous. I would argue we're in one of the more tumultuous periods in the history of the church for dissension and debate. What should almost surprise us, if you really think about it, is the fact that the church has survived for 2,000 years with all this dissension and debate that has been going on. And not only is the church surviving, but she's thriving and growing in many parts of the world today. That despite this dissension and debate, she's growing and thriving and becoming stronger. Now, last week in my homily, I talked about the importance of us seeking unity. Unity in the love of Christ and unity in the love for each other. That we should not and we must not allow division to enter into our lives. But how do we find unity in this atmosphere of dissension and debate? In this atmosphere where we feel like all we can do is argue? Well, we take the example of the early church as we see in the Acts of the Apostles. As it says in the first reading, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. They took the issue that they were struggling with to those in the church who had teaching authority, the apostles and the elders. They didn't sit and argue amongst themselves and allow that dissension and debate to become division. Instead, they took it to those who had the teaching authority granted to them by the Holy Spirit. This teaching authority, which was promised by our Lord when he said that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Well, just as the apostles and the elders had that teaching authority, it remains to this day. Our Lord's promise is still good today. That teaching authority did not die off with the last of the apostles dying, St. John. But it continues with the successor of the apostles, the bishops. As the Second Vatican Council tells us in its document, Lumen Gentium, the light to the nations, that the church is the light to the nations, the bishops have, by divine institution, taken the place of the apostles as pastors of the church, in such wise that whoever listens to the bishops is listening to Christ. And whoever despises the bishops despises Christ and him who sent Christ. The bishops have inherited the teaching office of the church from the apostles. This teaching office we call the magisterium, which comes from the Latin magister, teacher. Magister means teacher. So the magisterium is those who teach. For us here in the Diocese of Great Falls Billings, our teacher, our magister, is Bishop Michael Warfel, our bishop, the bishop of the Diocese of Great Falls Billings. Bishop Warfel and all bishops received the Holy Spirit in a special way when they were ordained as bishop. They received the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us as a teacher, to fulfill this promise of Christ, that the Holy Spirit would remind us of all that he taught. We see this authority of the bishops to teach all the more clearly when they are united together with our Holy Father, Pope Francis, in order to teach. When that happens, we believe that they truly are guided by the Holy Spirit and can teach no error. But again, for that to happen, they must be united together under the Holy Father. Individual bishops can lead people into error. But with the bishops together, we believe that they are infallible, that they are freed from error. So when we have issues of dissension and debate in our parish, as will arise throughout the history of the church, we follow the example of the early church. We take it to the bishops. Now, unlike the early church, we don't have to go up to Jerusalem. We don't have to go to Great Falls and knock on the bishop's door and say, "Hey, I've got something for you." We don't have to write letters or call. We have 2,000 years of church authority. 2,000 years where the Holy Spirit has guided the church to help us understand what our Lord has taught. And it actually comes to us in very convenient forms. We have books such as the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the U.S. Catholic Catechism for Adults to give us the basics of our faith. We have documents such as the introductions to the liturgical rituals that we do. We have things like letters from the popes and the bishops to help guide us and lead us. And much of this is available to us on the internet. We don't even have to buy books for many of this. It's freely available to us just by downloading it off the internet. But just seeking the guidance is enough. We must also have the humility to accept that guidance. We must have the openness to the Holy Spirit to listen to what the bishops are saying to us, speaking to us through their magisterial authority, their teaching authority, reminding us of what our Lord taught, and setting aside our desires, our feelings, and our wills to hear the Holy Spirit and allow that to work in and through our lives. So may we be open to the Holy Spirit working through our bishops and accept that guidance with joy and be open to unity with each other and unity with Christ.